Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Osiris.
What is going on? Hi.
How's Hello. It Hi.
I am Karina Reichman, and I am beyond thrilled to tell you that you are listening to the debut inaugural episode of Inappropriate Happiness here on the Osiris Media Network, co-hosted by my main man, my co-conspirator, my platonic life partner, my archivist, my best friend, Isaac Sloan. Dude, what's going on?
this is amazing. I think I actually feel inappropriate happiness right now. I think that's the feeling. Because we talk all the time, and you've been out on tour, so this is actually a real fresh chat today. You know, we haven't talked about any of this stuff yet.
Because normally, let me just tell the people real quick, we talk to each other really an inhuman amount, and then, I've been on the road for 20 days and 20 nights.
Right.
Just like sweet, sweet Connie from that song. Sorry. It's unbelievable, and this is a super fresh chat, dude. This is a super fresh chat. And for those of you who don't know, I'm Karina Reichman. I play the bass. That's what the internet says, at least. I sing a little bit. I jump around. I laugh uncontrollably constantly. And, I previously co-hosted a podcast hosted by Relix called Three from the Seven, and did 130 episodes alongside my dear friend and co-conspirator, Ref Kenny Sincotta, who is now... doing a new job. Actually, she quit Relix. She's on to different greener pastures. Bless her. We love her. I just saw her in San Francisco, and this very podcast is sort of the next phase in my podcasting life. And there was no option there was nothing clearer in this world that it would be Isaac to come on the other end of the horn with me. So I am thrilled to introduce the man. Isaac, tell the people why, like, what is going on? He's probably the most interesting guy on the planet. I'm not going to lie to you. So I'm thrilled to be joined by the most interesting man in the world. Fuck the Dos Equis guy. This is the guy, dude. Tell the people how you feel.
Thanks, Karina. This is just such a joy. I mean, I have to say, it's big shoes to fill with Raf, Kenny Sincotta, one of my all-time favorite podcast personalities, music editors, and just all-around amazing person. But yeah, you know, I love to talk about music, and nothing makes me happier than talking about music with you. And so we're just really blessed that Osiris is having us take over for the show The Drop and put our own spin on it, and come out with the weekly podcast about music news and what's going on for us, what we're listening to, what we're talking about. It's very overwhelming, which is where inappropriate happiness comes from, because it's just unbelievable to have this opportunity.
I couldn't agree more. And right off the bat, I'm going to tell you fine listeners that inappropriate happiness is a side effect of a drug called prednisone.
Right.
I was on for a brief stint recently, for a very long 16 days, because... yeah, you know, they said your acne would go away after your teen years, but you know, here I am, 28 years of age, having the worst acne of my life, and the derm was like, it's time to do a quick round of prednisone. And I looked up the side effects, and number one was inappropriate happiness. And I was like, oh boy, that doesn't sound good. But then I was like, you know what, that's the name of the podcast, there's absolutely no way. That isn't going
to
carry over.
We had to do it.
We got it. It's going to carry over into life because it's so emblematic of, of, you know, how we feel most of the time.
And you know what?
Really happy. God bless.
Side effects or not, you've been showing your pretty face on stages all across the country, huh?
Hey, my guy. Hey, yeah, you know, that's true. I am. I'm phoning in from Seattle, Washington, the beautiful home of grunge. It is
right.
Traditionally rainy, which is just making it, you know, all the more Seattle-esque. It's it's great. Yeah, I've been opening up for Pigeons Playing Ping Pong across the nation. It started in Texas, then it went to Arizona, then it went to California, then we took a little dip into Lake Tahoe at the casino and played blackjack all night, and then Bend, Oregon, Portland, Oregon, and here we are, two shows here in Seattle, and I'm actually calling you, this is the last night of the tour, Isaac. This is the last one, and it's been probably the greatest experience I could have ever imagined. Like, going into it, I didn't know what to expect, like, you know, who knows, but those guys, the Pigeons that are playing ping pong, they are some of the nicest humans I've ever come across, and I will never forget how kind they've been to my band. They have bent over backwards to make things nice for us. They have, you know, any opportunity that like a headliner could get to make the opener, you know, their day less of a pain cave, they're, you know, just different stuff where it makes things easier on us. They've done it, and it's unbelievable. They play their asses off every night. They switch up the set. They've played covers ranging from 311 to NSYNC to the Red Hot Chili Peppers to Billy Joel. Oh no, that's not true. To Elton John, to Bruce Springsteen. It's unbelievable. It's really something. And God, they're such a good unit. And my band has been thrilled to have the opportunity to, you know, warm up the crowd for them every night. And tonight will be no different here in Seattle. And I don't know if you can tell, I've sort of drained my voice singing to the hits. You know, it's not the best podcasting voice here, but I'm hoping by the time the show comes around, I can sing Genius of Love by the Tom Tom Club. It's kind of a high register for me.
Right. So yeah. Speaking of repertoire, you've debuted a couple of new songs, right, on this tour?
I have. You know, last night also we played Why Can't I Touch It by the Buzzcocks. That was a tour debut for sure. And Genius of Love was a total debut. That's been good. And, you know, I have new music of my own in the works and definitely have been, you know, trying to see what I can sneak into the set and experiment with that. We played a new one of mine called Beacon last night. Tour debut. I was feeling frisky last night. I was feeling good to go, you know, seeing what I get away with. And there's a new tune of mine called Joyride that we've been experimenting with out there. So things have been good. Things
Very
have been
exciting.
Great.
Very exciting.
Wildly.
And although the tour with Pigeons is winding down, a lot of new stuff on the horizon. Just this week, the Sacred Rose Festival was announced for August 26th through 28th in Bridgeview, Illinois, at the SeatGeek Stadium.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This lineup is so everything I could have ever wanted.
Absolutely.
I really think that. It is, it's you know, the founder of the festival, Mr. Michael Berg, who is a dear friend and puts on Hulaween, among many other fabulous festivals. He reached out to me directly as the promoter, you know, and was like, hey, dude, this is my idea for your stage, you know, and told me this was a while ago at this point. But he was like, you, meaning me, Blue Da Tiger, Hiatus Coyote, Kamasi Washington, and Krungbin. And I said, well, fucking slap my ass and call me Sally Michael Berg. I will be there with bells on. Sign me up. Yes, where do I sign? And I was just blown away. And, you know, that there's like a voice in your head, right? That's like, is it, you know, is that real? Is that really going to be the stage? Like, holy shit. I don't know. I was just so blown away by that. And lo and behold, they announced the stages, Isaac, and it seems real. It seems real. I think we're gonna really do that on Sunday, August 28th. It's unbelievable.
That's amazing. I mean, that's the Vegas stage that is primed to be the place to be on Sunday, August 28th. But you know, those names you listed off, you know, Hiatus Coyote, Blue Da Tiger, Kamasi Washington, you know, those are names that are not just at every kind of jam festival. I mean, you have Phil Lesh and Friends and Goose and Humphreys McGee. You have some of the names you'd come to expect, but there's also Animal Collective and White Denim and the other bands that are accompanying you on the Vegas stage. And I just think that's a very bold and kind of proper music festival choice to put together some of the most beloved artists across genres to complement each other nicely, you know, for an outdoor summer shindig.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, for me personally, it's a dream, because the sort of psychedelic indie jam crossover is right where I like to live. You know what I mean? It's very much feels like just a good little sweet spot of the musical universe. And, you know, to be able to see Animal Collective and then see Goose is everything I could have asked for. And just, you know, I hope that it, you know, marks a trend, you know, because you have these sort of very delineated hippie jam festivals, right? And then they go on a very, you know, sliding scale from like Swamp Creature Wook to like, and the, like, there, you know, I've played festivals that are like very much like hippie festivals, but like where you get the sense that people don't even know who Jerry Garcia is. You know what I mean? It's like this a very interesting sort of underbelly of like, you know, like these like Wook DJ sets and stuff like that, which is awesome. I'm so about it. And I'm so glad all of these like little, you know, permutations of the thing like exist, you know. And then of course there are the bigger one, there's Peach, that's, you know, basically an Allman Brothers festival, you know, and whatever, and a million, you know, all of them, 420 Fest, you name it, you know, and so many of them. And I love to see sort of the genre blending and bending that seems to be happening, you know, just because that's, I don't know. I'm a big fan, and I feel like, you know, if you go to a festival, jam music lends itself very well to a festival atmosphere, if you ask me. You know, there's something about it.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's cool to also get, you know, I don't know. I keep going back to Animal Collective because they're one of my favorite bands, but like a band with songs that you, you know and love, that is right there. And, you know, talk about Blue Da Tiger too. She's an old friend of ours, actually. We've known her for years, and she puts out songs that upon hearing them, you're never going to get them out of your head, you know what I mean? And they're going to last for 3 minutes, and you're going to fucking sing them, you know? And it's cool. And, you know, whether or not she's doing something where there's an extended jam or not, and then, you know, you get the Goose Next Door that is, I think there's a total world for these things to be married, and I am just glad that it's it's Sacred Rose.
Absolutely.
And hopefully, yeah, and hopefully it catches on, right? I don't know. I think that's great.
Oh, I really agree. I mean, it's amazing to see Phil Lesh and friends up against War on Drugs. You know, Phil turned 82 this week, announced some shows, October residency, concluding on Halloween at the Capitol Theater in Port Chester, New York. And War on Drugs just came to town and headlined Madison Square Garden for the first time earlier in January. They have a full summer tour ahead of them. And Krungbin closing out the day on Sunday at the Vegas stage. They just played two nights at Radio City Music Hall, some sold out performances.
Unbelievable. And, unbelievable.
You know, so it's exciting to see, you know, tried and true festival acts and, you know, accompanying these bands that are just really growing and flourishing and bringing in new audiences and, you know, keeping live music on its toes, I think.
I think so, too. Yeah. I totally think so. And to have, I don't know, we were talking with the Pigeons guys, like, everybody loves festival season because, you know, festival season, you know, when you're a touring band and you hit the road, you're obviously responsible for tickets that are sold. The people buy a ticket, you know, with your name on it, come to the show or they don't, right? But with these festivals, man, it's a beautiful thing. We all get to hang out with each other, meaning the artists, and the people get to see a little bit of everything, and you're not solely responsible for anything, and then hopefully it all just blends together beautifully, you know what I mean? And it's I don't know, it's a really it's a fun thing to be a band in the summertime that plays festivals. That's a special, it's a special time, you know? So
yes,
looking forward to all of that. And so, so stoked for Krungbin, yes, headlining that stage, and so stoked for Krungbin. Just, I mean, we could fucking have a whole podcast about how stoked we are for Krungbin, but God, when it's hot, it's hot, and they are hot, but they were hot from day one in my eyes. I mean, it's just so cool to see them flourish, as you said, and just, you know, kind of take off right to the moon. The two Radio Cities, we remember when they were not only playing Rough Trade but playing the Relics office to like 12 people.
Totally.
And then, you know, and then Brooklyn Bowl, and then, you know, opening for Leon at, you know, Radio City for two nights, and then selling it out themselves. It's unbelievable. It's, you know, just watching them and their trajectory and all of that. Talk about bridging the gap between all, you know, genre lovers of music. You know what I mean? The indie kids love them. The jam kids love them. The psych kids, like, it doesn't even matter. You know, my parents love them, you know?
Totally.
It's so cool. It's really a wild thing to see. So congrats to them. And I can't wait to, you know, warm up that stage for them at Sacred Rose. I think that's so amazing. Good times.
I have to say, for an inaugural festival, I think they are doing a lot by way of providing a lot for the fans in terms of the lineup, but also announcing the schedule, the stages for each day and the set times for each day before the shows go on sale. I think that's a real classy move. It gives people a sense of what they're in for in a really nice way. And, you know, I think creates an extra level of excitement. So I'm very impressed by this rollout all around.
Me too. Couldn't agree more. I think that's a great move. And as a fan and, you know, performer, I think I couldn't have asked for more. I'm like, let's go. Perfect. I know what my weekend will look like.
Amazing. Totally. So, you know, as a fan and performer, another show got announced this week that I know has your heart. Primus, Ween, Trey Parker, and Matt Stone teaming up to celebrate the 25th anniversary of South Park on Wednesday, August 10th at Red Rocks Amphitheater in Morrison, Colorado. What are your thoughts?
Oh, boy. Oh, man. I mean, you know, August 10th, right? I mean, that's one of those, like, let's just hope that I don't have a gig because that has my name written all over it. I'm a huge fan of all three things, Ween, Primus, and South Park. And, you know, I don't know, just like if it was just Ween and Primus, I'd already be completely jumping out of my pants and, you know, beyond thrilled. But For those who don't know, I mean, when you're on tour specifically, right, the thing that you can count on the most, the thing that provides the maybe the greatest sense of comfort and home and stability when you're, you know, completely out here rogue, traveling circus vibes, new city every day, no idea what's going on, is knowing that when you get back to your hotel room at night, there's gonna be South Park on Comedy Central. It's totally. Just, it's a fact of life. It feels so good. Because you get back to your hotel between, I don't know, 1 and 3 a.m., 1 and 4 a.m., whatever it is, and they play that shit all night. And it's just, I don't know, it's the show of my youth. It's absolutely my comfort show, that and Seinfeld, but, you know... So I'm thrilled. What do you think? Like, you know, I hope that we get sets from both bands and then commentary, comedy, an art show. Like, what's it even going to look like, Isaac? What are we even in for with the South Park end of things? You know, like I'm delighted to find out. I'd love to speculate.
Well, I think they all share a similar strain of creativity. And it's one that isn't just specific to, you know, Primus Ween and South Park, but I think it's one that's certainly they have their history of making music together. Primus providing the theme song for South Park, amongst kind of other interludes, I believe, over the years. Is that right?
That's super right. There was an episode of South Park called Chef Aid, which became released as a record, right? Where like bands from Ween to Rancid to God knows, you know, recorded songs for that. And Ween famously, has Homo Rainbow.
Right, right.
That appeared first, I believe, on Chef Aid. And it was one of my favorite Ween songs. Fantastic. So yeah, there's definitely crossover, mutual humor. You're absolutely right. But go on.
Well, yeah, and I think we also don't know what to expect, which is a pretty cool thing about it, you know? Rarely do you buy a ticket for a two-band bill that you love, and there's this kind of added element of kind of anticipation around the creative choices that go in. And, I think Trey Parker and Matt Stone are geniuses and, have really managed to keep what they do so compelling and so funny and so full of love that it's just I'm really excited to see how that all goes off at Red Rocks Amphitheater, no less, one of the more special places to see live music in the world.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And can you imagine the poster art? I feel like the poster art is going to be next level. Maybe right. That's just a pipe dream.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. And 25 years people... of South Park. Jeez.
Right? Yeah. Oh my God. I want to see everybody dressed up as like Kenny, you know?
Totally. Yeah. They're definitely
I want to see a crowd full of Kennys. Maybe it's me. I'm
right.
Going to show
yeah,
up as Kenny.
Yeah. And you're playing Red Rocks in May, having never seen a show there. Is that correct?
That is so correct, Isaac. That is so correct. I'm beside myself with that. And, you know, maybe I'm just going to be like, you know, I'm going to do the whole summer season at Red Rocks. Fuck it. Let's go.
Yeah, no, I know. It's tempting to just stay, I think.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I've been on the premises with you in 2014 when we went to Dick's for Fish, right? And we just, we're like, well, let's definitely take a little day trip over yonder and just see it. So I've definitely stood there. I've seen it, the majesticness, if you will, and it's incredible. But yeah, I've never seen a show there, so it's pretty absolutely mind-boggling that the first show I'll see there is myself. Just kidding. Well, I'll play, and then I will go into the audience for the incredible California Honey Drops, followed by the also incredible Infamous String Dusters. So that is May 26th for those of you following along at home, and I hope to see you there.
Yeah, that really that's early in the Red Rock season, right? They
it is.
They'll be kicking it off soon, and you'll be on this year's incredible lineup of shows. It's really such a special thing. Well, if you've enjoyed listening to us today, I'm glad to let you know that Inappropriate Happiness is part of OSIRIS, and OSIRIS creates music podcasts and events to help music fans deepen their connection to the music they love, which to me is what it's really all about. And there are a few other podcasts that we've been listening to on OSIRIS, the first of which is Talking Circles, which is about Umphrey's McGee. Umphrey's is putting out their 14th studio album, Asking for a Friend, pretty soon. And they're going out on tour this summer with the Disco Biscuits and playing Sacred Rose. And I think this is an interesting sort of podcast in the sense that they are rolling out songs with commentary and talking about the process of songwriting and, you know, as always, letting their fans in to the intimate intricacies of what's going on behind the music.
Absolutely. They're really good at that. They're really good at that. And they're, it's really something to behold, especially with a band that's as completely technical and, you know, if visionary, if you will, you know, what they do is ridiculous. So to let the fans in on, you know, even a little smidge of what's going on in there is really cool. And yeah, I mean, I look forward to listening to this ASAP.
Yeah.
This is going to be great.
New studio album and David Frick, music journalist, probably most notable for Rolling Stone magazine, but a music journalist, you know, in his own right, aside from the, you know, affiliations, amazing writer, wrote about the new album. And so that's another thing to check out and to whet your appetite. You know, another podcast on OSIRIS, Sugar Maple. This is an interesting premise. It's a fictional story about a guitar, and there's original music in each episode. I have never heard of a podcast quite like this, especially in the realm of music.
Yeah, that definitely is new.
That's new.
Let's go. Oh yeah. My God, what's it called again?
Sugar Maple.
Sugar Maple, dude, let's go. I'm all about Sugar Maple, following Sugar Maple's journey. Let's see what she comes out with. I'm yep. all about it.
Absolutely.
And shout out to our friends. I have a few pals. No Simple Road. O'Teal. Yeah. Mike Fenoya. I was just a guest on there. It was the best time ever. Shout out to Maggie Rose. Salute the Songbird. My episode has not come out, but I just did it. Actually, I did it about, 3 weeks ago, something like that. And man, Eric Krasno plus one. There's so many great OSIRIS podcasts, and we're just happy to be in the fold. And thank you all so much for tuning in. This has been amazing. Episode one, from New York to Seattle. Next time it'll be New York to New York, I believe. It'll be from my Cleveland hotel room, and it'll be great. I look forward to continuing to rap with you, Isaac, the man, the myth, the legend. And you know what? Next week, this is a good cliffhanger. Next week, we're going to let the people in on the life of Isaac. I feel like we need to do some digging. We're going to do some digging, dude.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be epic. And I'm going to let the people know about all of your incredible exploits, and it'll keep them coming back for more. Keep them coming back for more. It's a beautiful thing. This has been amazing. Shout out to our producer, Marlo Shankweiler, followed by my main man, Brian Brinkman. Oh my God, these guys, they make the show happen.
It's a real dream team. It's really awesome.
Yeah, there's no show without them. Shout out to RJ. Shout out to all the fine folks out there. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. Isaac, love you like a brother. And we will be back next week with a brand new episode of Inappropriate Happiness. And I hope you all stay inappropriately happy out there.
Absolutely. In the meantime, check out OSIRISPod.com. OSIRIS works in partnership with Jambase, an amazing website, which I go to for all of my music news. It connects music fans with the music they love and empowers them to go see live music. Is there anything better? I really don't think so. Until next week. Bye, Karina.
Later. Hi, Isaac.
OSIRIS. Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob Podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.